I'd like to thank everybody for coming. I know it's Erev Pesach, and it's hard to get out, but I know that Yosef Chaim could really use our tefillos, and it's really a tremendous chus for us tonight to have Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter here. Rabbi Schachter is the senior scholar of YU Center for the Jewish Future. He's a university professor of Jewish history and Jewish thought. He's also an adjunct instructor in Jewish studies. I know that one of the highlights in hearing Rabbi Schachter was, I knew that every year in Beth Abraham, Leil Hoshana Rabbah, we looked forward to having Rabbi Schachter speak to us. I also want to give a special thank you to Rabbi Knapp for helping us facilitate this year tonight. As I've said in the past, that Chaim has always mentioned that the shir should be a schus for Refu Shleim, for him as well as for all of Chol Yisrael, and I'd like to ask Rabbi Schachter to please speak with us.
Does anybody need a copy of the sheets? Everybody have a copy? Somebody's speaking in here.
That's because they're just called in problem.
But I hear numbers.
I'm sorry. Oh, it's just the music before it picks up. I'll leave it here.
Okay. When Kenny asked me to speak tonight, or first it was last night, I was very much prepared to accept the invitation as a schus for a refuah shlema for Yosef Chaim Yisachar ben Chaya Mushkit. I think it's really an extraordinary and remarkable phenomenon that when a young man in a community is stricken with such a difficult and challenging illness, that the entire community rallies around and tries to do whatever it can to multiply zuchusim that should redound for him for refuah shleima. And I've been hearing from my children in the last few weeks about the extraordinary outpouring of ways of trying to enhance whatever zchusim we can in whatever ways we can. And I was very touched by the power of tefillah, by the power of community, and by the power of caring. When somebody in our midst has to face such a tremendous challenge, and his wife and his children and all the members of his family. So there wasn't a question in my mind that I would respond favorably to Kenny. And it's such a remarkable thing that Kenny does to do this for a chaver. And for a member of our community. And the Rabboni Shel Olam should respond to our tefillos. And Yosef Chaim Yisachar ben Chaya Mushkit should have a refuah shleima. I want to deal with an issue, Mein Yonah D'Yom, and I want to ask four questions. For some strange reason, I thought that that might be an appropriate thing to do. My first question has three parts. Page one, in the time leading up to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the time leading up to Yetzias Mitzrayim begins when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he tells Moshe it's time to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. There are a whole series of events that lead up to and ultimately culminate in the event that we commemorate and celebrate and remember Amitz Hashem this coming Friday night. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he tells him on the top right of page one, in Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Hashem ro ra'isi asoni yami asher b'mitzrayim v'estakosam shamati mipnei noktsav v'ered la'atzilo miyad mitzrayim. Time has finally come. All these years have elapsed. Bnei Yisrael have been working so hard in Mitzrayim. I finally have heard what they had to say. I'm ready to respond to their prayers. And Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go back to Mitzrayim. I want you to be the one, the shaliach, to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Va'ato l'cho v'eshlocho chal paro v'otzei esami Bnei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. No sooner does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu that he's got a job to do and that he now has a responsibility that he has to undertake, Moshe Rabbeinu enters into a protracted conversation, not just a conversation, but an argument with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they go toe-to-toe for many, many psukim, for the rest of Perek Gimel, throughout virtually almost all of Perek Dalet, and Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't be the one to do this. No sooner does Hashem say go, v'yomer Moshe el ho'elokim mi'anochi ke'elech el paro. Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to be with you, ki e'ye imach v'zelecha ha'os, and this is what you should show them, and this is what you should tell them, and this is what you should do, and this is the message that you should communicate, and I'm telling you, Moshe Rabbeinu v'shamu l'kolach. You don't have to worry, this is not a fool's errand, they're going to listen to you, I'm telling you, I am the Rabbona Shel Olam, you are Moshe Rabbeinu, I am telling you, v'shamu l'kolecha, in Pasuk Yud Ches. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, v'yan Moshe v'yomer, v'ein lo yaminu li, v'lo yishmu u'bakoli. Zobran Shulding, Rabbona Shel Olam, I'm happy to hear that you just told me, v'shamu l'kolecha, but I'm telling you, v'lo yishmu u'bakoli. You may think that they're going to listen to me, but they're not going to listen to me. V'lo yishmu b'koli. No, and Hashem says, don't worry about it. Here's what you should do. Here's what you should say. Here's what you should feel confident about. Here is the oath. Here is the way you should behave. This is the argument. V'yomer Moshe el Hashem. Bi Hashem lo ish devar manochi. No, I can't. I'm not articulated. I'm not sophisticated. I'm not well-spoken. I can't do this, they're not going to listen to me, what am I going to tell them? And Hashem says, don't worry about it, it's all going to work out okay, it's going to be fine. V'ato lech v'anochi yeyem picho v'yomer, all the way at the bottom, bi Hashem shlachna b'yatishlach. Moshe Rabbeinu says, send whoever you're going to send, shlachna b'yatishlach, at which point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, this conversation is now closed. Vayicharef Hashem b'Moshe, that's it. We're ready to go. I've had it. It's enough already. It's an amazing conversation. Chazal tell us that this conversation took place for an entire week. Moshe Rabbeinu eshtotzach avek and kegen the Rabbeinu Shel Olam toe to toe for a week and says, I can't do this. I have three questions. Question number one is, where's Moshe Rabbeinu's Ben Adam Lamakov? I mean, you'll forgive me if somebody comes to you today and says, God had a conversation with me. There are places in various communities where we send such people. This is not a normal thing to do. But if you know that the Rabbona Shel Olam comes to you, and there was no doubt in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind that this is the Rabbona Shel Olam, Hashem says, Moshe, go. What's Moshe's response supposed to be? Of course, quick. Show me. Yeah, jump, how high? We're talking God here. God just said to him, go. And a shtal tzachavek, and a prophet tanivis, and yudin, abhab, and me, I can't, I know, but that. And Hashem says, v'shamu l'kolecha. Hashem just said, no, you should forgive me. I know you said that, but I know better than you. I know. What kind of talk is this? What kind of pashit olive days, I'm asking? What kind of talk is this? Hashem says, v'shamu l'kolecha. That's it. End of discussion. Second question. Not only where's Moshe Rabbeinu's ben Adam l'mako, where's Moshe Rabbeinu's ben Adam l'chaveru? Moshe Rabbeinu knows exactly what's going on in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu knows so well what's going on in Mitzrayim that he had to leave Mitzrayim because he wanted to defend the Jew. V'yarish Mitzri makeh yeshivri me'echa v'yifen kol v'chol v'yarki einish v'yaches ha-mitzri v'yitmeneh b'chol. You're trying to tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu is callous or indifferent to the fate of Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim chas v'shalom. He extended himself on their behalf, and that's why he is where he is. So just imagine decades, Moshe Rabbeinu every day is haunted by the fate of his co-religionists back in Mitzrayim. Every day he's plotting to get back. He's living in an idyllic existence, but Zagrizhetim, he's nervous, he's worried, he's unhappy, he's tense, he's concerned, he's anxious, and now the Rabbeinu Shloilem comes and says, Moshe, the time I hear the cries, go! Quick, where you've been so long? Where have you been? I've been waiting for you, quick, fast! And there's no tzachavek, and a dintzach, and he's arguing. Every day goes by, more Jews are being killed. And more Jews are suffering. And more babies are being stuffed into the pyramids. Every minute, Jews are suffering. Get over there. Stop with the praving the shtick, the anivis. Every second that you are arguing, Jews are suffering. Where is your sensitivity? Where is your sensitivity to the plight of the Jewish people? And my third question is, what does shlach nabi yatishlach mean? It's a very odd formulation. Shlach na biyad tishlach. What does that mean? Adkan, question number one. Question number one has to do with the story when Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving the message from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to go back to Mitzrayim. 1a, where's his Ben Adam Lamakom? 1b, where's his Ben Adam Lachavero? 1c, what does Shlach Nabiyat Tishlach mean? Second question. Why is Pesach called Pesach? Why is the holiday of Pesach called Pesach? Top of page 2. The reason why it's called Pesach is because the Torah tells us, U'posach Hashem ala Pesach, v'lo yitein hamashches lovo, v'amartem zevach Pesach hu la'Hashem, asher posach ha'bote b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim, b'nok po'es Mitzrayim v'es boteinu itzil. Pesach is called Pesach because God passed over. My second question is, at which point in the story does what happened here unfold? Where are B'nai Yisrael, where these psukim are addressing, are describing? They're still in Mitzrayim. They're still in Egypt. Why do we name the holiday of redemption for an event that preceded redemption? Nebuch zeligen noch in Mitzrayim. They didn't leave yet. They're in Egypt. This is not supposed to be an in Egypt holiday. This is Chag HaGeula. This is Chaydish HaGeula. We celebrate redemption. We should call it Geula holiday. We should call it Chag HaYitziah. Why do we call it Chag HaPesach to remind us of an event that preceded the Yitziah, that takes place while they're still in the place that was the dominant servitude spot for them for centuries? They're still in Egypt. Why do we call the holiday of redemption for an event that precedes redemption? Question number 3. Why do we have 3 matzahs? Mitz Hashem, this coming Friday night, Leil Shabbos, Mitzoy Shabbos, 3 matzahs. Why do we have 3 matzahs at the Seder? So turn to page 3. I Xerox for you from a Sefer called the Seder HaAruch. All of you have your own favorite Sfarim that you look for, Sifrei Minhagim. So, Satitza, here, 10, 12 reasons, 10, 12 symbolisms of the number 3, 3 matzahs at the Seder. What are some of the famous representations of the number 3 that we associate with matzahs at the Seder? So we have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we have Kayan, Levi, and Yisrael. If you turn the page sideways, all the way back in the beginning of Bereshis, we know the story with Avraham and the Malachim, Zokta Das Kenim and Shmos in our Parsha, describing the Inyan of Achilas Matzah and Korban Pesach, Lachach, Noagu Ha'om, Lasos, Beleil Pesach Shalosh Matzos Zecher LeShalosh Sa'in SheOmar Mahari Shalosh Se'im UPesachoya V'Yesh Omer Zecher LeShlosha Avos Sefelt Nisht Ois. Reason after reason after reason why we have three matzos. My question is, why don't we have four matzos? Why don't we have four matzos? After all, if I had to ask you a number that we associate with Pesach, the number is four. And whatever symbolism you want to give me for three, I'll give you for four. The same four that we have elsewhere, we'll figure out there should be four matzos. Why should it be the three avos? I think it should be the four imahos. The schus nashim, tzidkani yel shayu bosa agar, hador nigala avasenim in Mitzrayim. So we should have four matzos. Vosef is three matzos. It seems like it's a stiya. It's like a rejection. It's a moving away from the Pesach number. And if you're worried, what am I going to tell you to symbolize four? Because the chanetz again, I'll find the four. That won't necessarily be any less compelling than 9 of the 14 other reasons that are given for three, if not 14 of the 14 reasons that are given for three. It's very nice. Very nice. I'll find a nice one for four. That's my third question. And my fourth question is, we're now on page 4. Why do we have Arba Kosos at the Seder? Speaking of four, we have Arba Kosos at the Seder. So, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shalom helps that we have Baruch Hashem children. We have Baruch Hashem Einiklach, and they go to day school. They come home from day school. They come home, Baruch Hashem, with the sheets. You wave the sheets to get a sense of where the tuition dollars are going. Can I nahara? The kids come home. We have a table where we put the sheets. And the goal is that the kids should march up to the Pesach Seder and unload a shtickle of the sheet, because that's the whole point with all the coloring and the pictures and the three-dimensional. And the kid wants the Baruch Hashem unload. The kid spent a month coloring, and there, Baruch Hashem, a number of children we have to figure out to validate the desire. After all, the whole point of the Yom Tov is the kid should feel appreciated and the center of attention. Why do we have four cups of wine? Ask the kid, ask your child, your grandchild, Keneged pre-K, I'm going back to your own pre-K, Keneged Arba Lashono Shel Gul. Keneged Arba Lashono Shel Gul. Take a look in the Medrash. This is in Vayeshev. The Medrash Rabbah in Vayeshev, it got caught, cut off at the top, I'm sorry. And it's also Yerushalmi in Arvei Pesachim. The Lashon here is not Keneged Arba Lashonos Shel Gula, as we find in the first Rashi in Rashbam in Perek Arvei Pesachim, Keneged Arba Lashonos Shel Gula. But the Medrash says, Keneged, why do we have Arba Kosa Shalele Pesach Rav Huna B'Shem Rabbanoi Keneged Arba Geulos Shenebru B'Mitzrayim V'otzeisi V'itzalti V'goalti V'lokachti. Take a look in the Yerushalmi Minayin L'dal Kosos Rabbi Yochanan B'Shem, where it's first underlined the middle of page 4, Keneged Arba Geulos V'otzeisi V'itzalti V'goalti V'lokachti. Okay, I've been living with that for my whole life. I understand that it's logical, it makes sense. After all, this is what we celebrate tonight. The different either expressions of redemption or the formulations of redemption or the levels of redemption. Arba Lashona Shel Gula, Arba Geulos, God's fine, I got it, I appreciate it, I understand it. However, the Medrash continues, and this is the Medrash in Parshas Vayeshev. The Medrash in Parshas Vayeshev says the reason why we have Arba Kosos on the night of Pesach is Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman Amar Keneged Arba Kosos Shenem Rukan. The four Kosos that are mentioned in Parshas Vayeshev. So if you turn to page 5, I Xerox Parshas Vayeshev, and lo and behold, Yosef is in jail, and in jail he meets up with the Sar Mashkim and the Sar Ha'ofim, and he befriends them, and lo and behold, they have dreams, and he asks them what's going on. They describe the dream, and in particular, the Sara Mashkim describes a dream which refers to Kos Paro And in fact, in the course of that conversation, Kos Paro appears four times. The Kos Paro biyadi, for eschato samel Kos Paro, for eten eschakos al kaf Paro. And then the last time when Yosef responds and explains the significance of the dream, v'nosato Kos Paro biyado. Four times Kos, arba mikan la arba kosos shalel haseder. My last question is, Vostotzach, what does the Leil HaSeder have to do with the Parshas Vayeshev story of the Kos Paro? I understand very well. I understand it perfectly. But Vosep is Ma'inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. What are we, shtick of it, see? We make a tzustel if he happens to say the word Kos four times. Oh, perfect! Four Kosos on the night of the Seder. So I want to review my four questions. Question number one is in the, I could use the word conversation, I don't want to use the word conversation, I want to use the word argument, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, come take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim. For a whole week, Moshe Rabbeinu gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu a hard time. How can you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a hard time? Moshe Rabbeinu, milanu gadol mi Moshe Rabbeinu. He's giving a Kodesh Baruch Hu a hard time. It's not nice. It's not respectful. It's not how you talk to the Rabbanu Shalom. Where's your sensitivity to Achenu B'nai Yisrael? Nebuch, they're suffering. For decades, they're suffering. Quick! I would have imagined he would have been tormented all this time. And now, finally, a Kodesh Baruch Hu shows up. Quick! Fast! Do a miracle. Get me there in 4 seconds so we can get the ball rolling. And the third part of the first question is what a shlach nabi atishlach. The second question is why is the holiday of redemption called for an event that preceded the actual redemption? Question number three is why don't we have four matzahs? You'll tell me we have three matzahs because of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So I'll tell you that's why we have three matzahs. I'll tell you we have four matzahs because I'll find another reason. Find six other reasons why we have four matzahs. And the last question is, I understand one pshat in the Yerushalmi and in the Medrash that arba kosos are keneged arba geulos, but vosep is kos paro have to do with the night of the Seder. In order to understand all four questions with one basic yesod, I want to begin with the Gemara at the end of Perek Tamid Nishchat in Maseches Psachim. If you look in the middle of page 6, the Gemara describes something really unusual. And until I learned this Gemara, I must say the whole issue never even occurred to me to be an issue. The Gemara wants to know the last two lines in Perek Tamid Nishchat in Maseches Psachim. The Gemara wants to know, how did Bnei Yisrael carry the Korban Pesach home from the Beis HaMikdash? So we know on Erev Pesach, that's what Tamid Nishchat is a lot about. On Erev Pesach, we know we have to bring a Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach was slaughtered, was Nishchat in the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that it was Nechal in everybody's home, ala chabura, in everybody's backyard, in everybody's living room. We had to get people together. It was a whole Seder, how to eat the Korban Pesach. So the Shechita took place over there, and the Achila took place over here. And Segeit on the Gemara wants to know, how did it get from there to here? So, for my whole life, it wasn't an issue. How did it get from there to here? It got from there to here. Who cares how it got from there to here? So, I schlepped it. I put it in a wheelbarrow. I hired somebody to do it. It was shechted here, and it had to be eaten here. I was like, got from here to there. But it didn't even occur to me that it's an issue. Comes to the game, the Gemara, and the Gemara tells you exactly how it got from here to there. Tana. Two lines from the end of the parak. Tana. Kalechad v'yachad nosein pischo ba'oro umafshil la'achorav. Tell you exactly how it got from the Beis HaMikdash to your house. What they did was, they shechted the Korban Pesach, then they scooped out the meat of the behemah, They scooped it out, and then they took the skin, and they put it into the skin, and they picked up the four corners of the skin. So imagine, let's say you have a sheet, and you want to carry something from here to there, so you put it in the middle of a sheet. How are you going to carry it? You pick up the four corners of the sheet, you hold it together, the sheet becomes a receptacle, you take it, you sling it over your shoulder, and you're good to go. That's how they brought the Korban Pesach from the Beis HaMikdash to their houses. Kol Echad Ve'Echad, no saying Pischo Be'oro, in the ore with an ayin of the Korban Pesach, U'mafshio La'achorav, and they put it over their backs. Amar Rabilish, Zot Rabilish, Zot Rashi, Amar Rabilish, Shem Chacham. I love these Rashis. I shouldn't be depressed. I don't know who Rabbi Elish is. I have no question. Amar Rabbi Elish Shem Chacham. Tayos. Amar Rabbi Elish Tayos. Ad Kan, fifth parak in Masachas Pesachim. What is Tayos? What is Tayos? Zot Rashi. Derech Sochrim Yishme'elim Huzeh. Derech Sochrim Yishme'elim Huzeh. So if you're a Socher, if you're a traveling salesman, and you have to get your goods from Minsk to Pinsk, how are you going to get your goods from Minsk to Pinsk? You're going to take a sheet, you're going to put it in the sheet, you're going to pick up four corners, you're going to sling it over your shoulder, and you're going to go from here to there. How did the Sochrim Yishme'elim peddle their wares? That's exactly how they did it. And we reenact Derech Sochrim Yishme'elim by the means through which we bring the Korban Pesach from the Beis HaMikdash to our homes. There's a very interesting parish on the Haggadah by Reb Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger was one of the great Rabbanim and Gedolei Israel in the 19th century in Poland. Reb Shlomo Kluger published a parish on the Gada called Yiriyo Shlomo. And the Yiriyo Shlomo was printed in the Reb Yaakov Emden Siddur. Reb Shlomo Kluger was responsible for taking the original Reb Yaakov Emden Siddur that was first published in the middle of the 18th century and reprinting it in the 19th century, adding all kinds of things that were not in the original Reb Yaakov Emden Siddur, and also adding his parish on the Haggadah called Yiriyo Shlomo. And Reb Shlomo Kluger, top of page 7, and I'm not going to read it, I'll just summarize it, and hopefully I'll have a chance to look at it. Shlomo Kluger asks this question. Thus gate mir on how they took the Korban Pesach home. What do I care how they took it home? And thus lake tzu Reb Elish. Amar Reb Elish, tayos. What would have been without Reb Elish? A, who cares? What's the issue? And number two, what does Reb Elish contribute to this conversation? So Shlomo Kluger says the following. Shlomo Kluger says, and this is my language in Reb Shlomo Kluger. He says, we spend so much of the night of the Seder talking about what it was like to be in Egypt. What it was like to be Avodim. Avodim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. We spend so much time talking about the Avdus in Egypt. We spend so much time on the night of the Seder talking about what it was like to leave Egypt. V'yotzi'enu Hashem Elokeinu Misham V'yod Chazaka B'Zro'a Netuya. The whole night of Pesach is about leaving Egypt. We spend no time, says Reb Shlomo Kluger, on how did we ever get into Egypt in the first place. We don't talk about how we got there. Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Welcome to my Seder. We're in Egypt. Welcome to Egypt. And 3 hours later, goodbye, we're leaving Egypt. We're starting in the middle of the story. We don't talk about how we got to Egypt. So just Shlomo Kluger, that's why. When we bring the Korban Pesach home from the Beis HaMikdash to our houses, we are reenacting the Yosef story. We are reenacting the Sochrim Yishmaelim. Who are the Sochrim Yishmaelim? A light bulb goes off when I say the words Sochrim Yishmaelim. You know We're talking about those who sold, took Yosef to Mitzrayim. That's the beginning of the story. That's why we talk about it. That's why we reenact it. Reb Shlomo Kluger says, without using these words, that bringing the Korban Pesach from the Beis HaMikdash at home is not a hechatimtza for the Seder. It's not to enable us to have the Seder. It's the beginning of the Seder. It's act one. Scene one of the Seder is bringing the Korban Pesach home. The Seder begins with how we got to Mitzrayim in order to give us the background. But we don't start in the middle. We start at the beginning. And the beginning is chronologically at the beginning. The first thing we do after the Akrovas Korban Pesach is an event that demonstrates coming to Mitzrayim. Oh, now I'm in Mitzrayim. Now we can talk about what it was like to be in Mitzrayim. What do we do, however, today, where we don't have a Korban Pesach? So take a look at the Rambam at the bottom of page 7. The Rabbeinu Manoach, in his parish on the Rambam, the Rambam says, Maschil u'mavarech, chametz u'matzah perek ches halachabez, Maschil u'mavarech ber pri ha'adama, v'lokeach yerek u'metabel oso b'charoses. So to Rabbeinu Manoach, v'anu noagim b'karpas, what do we call that which we dip? Kadei shurchatz, karpas. What do? V'anu noagim b'karpas, zecher l'ksones ha'pasim, she'osa Yaakov avinu l'Yosef, asher b'si b'sa, nisgalgel ha'dovor, v'yordo avoseinu l'mitzrayim. What do we dip? Ask your kid, pull out the sheets, find the page. What's karpas? What's on the karpas page? We dip. Why do we dip? Why do we dip? So in whole childhood, we dip because the Zimacherus chose that we could take this and dip it into that. It's a very significant thing. Fangsach nishtan. Rabbeinu Manoach says, you know why we dip? Because the Ksenis Pasim was dipped. We dip Zecher L'Ksenis Pasim. Asher B'si B'sa. Nisgalgel Hadavar. The Yordo Avaseinu L'Mitzrayim, the Yosef story. We dip at the beginning of the Seder in order to get us into Mitzrayim to begin with. That's why we dip. So we don't have a Korban Pesach. We don't schlep it over our shoulders. We don't remember the Sochrim Yishma'elim, but we remember the dipping. And the dipping reminds us of Yosef. And that's the Karpas. So the question is, so why is it called Karpas? Why is Karpas called Karpas? Take a survey of everybody here. So this one has celery, and this one has potato, and this one has chvesvas. We all have all kinds of whatever the family minig is. Why is it called Karpas? So when I was in first grade, my Rebbe said to me, the reason why it's called Karpas is because you see, you have to read it backwards. If you read Karpas backwards, it stands for Samach Parech. Samach is 60, is 600,000. Parech has worked very hard, so it's called Karpas. Because you have to read it backwards. So I'm going to say that lasted maybe till third grade. I woke up in third grade and I said to myself, I don't get it. You call it because it's backwards. It seems so contrived for me. It's so contrived. It's a strange word. And we call it Karpas because you have to read it backwards. So take a look at a Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev. And for this alone, it was kedai to come for you this evening if you don't know this Rashi. Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu favored Yosef. He loved him, Mikol Bonav, Ki Ben Zakunim Hulo, top of page 8, Vasalo. Ksones pasim. On the pasuk, on the words ksones pasim zok Rashi, loshon kli milas. It means it's a kind of a material. It's a kind of a garment. sones pasim. Kemo, Zok Rashi, kemo, what kind of piece of material is this? Kemo, karpas uscheles. Karpas is not a made-up word. We read karpas a couple of weeks ago right here in this room. Klal Yisrael read the word karpas. When Bnei Yisrael at the beginning of the Megillah, chur karpas uscheles achuz b'chav levutz v'argomon, what does it mean? It means a kind of a material. What was the Ksenis Pasa made out of? It was made out of karpas. Why is the dipping object at the Seder called karpas? Because Ravenu Manoach says it reminds us of the dipping of the karpas, of the Heftze Shel karpas, which made up the Ksenis Pasim. That's why we dip. And it's the Yosef story. And it's the Yosef story according to Rav Shlomo Kluger. Why? Why do we dip? Why do we come home reminding us of the Sochem Yishma'elim? And why do we have four cups of wine at the Seder? All to remind us of the Yosef story, because that's how it began. I want to suggest a different reason why we focus on the Yosef story on the night of the Seder. It's not just an issue of chronology. It's not just that I'm in there, I'm out of there, how did I get in there? It's not a din in chronology. I believe, and I would like to suggest, that there's an alternative explanation for the significance of the Yosef story, and that is as follows. The Yosef story for us is coming Friday night. It especially reminds us of what it is that brings us together here this evening. The Yosef story provides for us an alternative model of redemption. One model of redemption is the Arba Lashono Shel Geula model of redemption. The Arba Lashono Shel Geula, or the Arba Geulos model of redemption, means one follows the other, one builds on the other, one is stronger than the other, one is a more significant stage than the other. There's a certain inexorable movement from here to here to here to here, and the Vehebesi, and we're out of here, and we're done, and we're finished, and we're redeemed. Follows one another, it's clear, unambiguous, straightforward, inexorable, redemption, step by step, and we're done. However, it doesn't work like that. Halavai, it would work like that. It's not so pushy that it works like that. The Yosef story teaches us that there's an alternative model of redemption. And that is that it's a complicated parsha. What is the biography of Yosef? What's the story of Yosef? He starts off his life. We just read it. His father loves him, makes him a Ksenis Pasim. He's at the top of the world. And he has these dreams, and he gets into trouble with his brothers. And then his father sends him out to check on his brothers. And then they take him literally in dread. They throw him in dread, and they're ready to kill him. Got to Gehofim, they didn't kill him. He ends up in Egypt. Stel Zachor, a young Hebrew little boy, little young man, comes to Egypt. Doesn't understand the language, doesn't know anybody, stranger. He doesn't have his family, his mother and his father, his brothers, his siblings. This whole world is gone in a strange place. And a valgetzach, and a valgetzach. And he's having, I'm sure, a terrible time. Gadot Golfmi falls in to the house of Potiphar. He becomes the chief of Potiphar's house. So he starts on the top, he goes to the bottom. He's in the bottom, in the pit, out of the pit, in Egypt, starts at the bottom, now he's in Potiphar's house. And then he gets this shtickle, unpleasant encounter with Mrs. Potiphar, and Nochamol in dread. Now he's in jail. And he's in jail, and imagine what it was like for him. He didn't know what was going to happen. He doesn't have a lawyer, he doesn't have a defense attorney, he doesn't know anybody, he's an alien in a strange land. Who knows what's going to be? He's there for the rest of his life, he's finished. He bumped into these two guys. He tells them what the dream means, and he begs them. When he leaves, he says, please remember me. And how does the parsha end? V'lo zochar. Sara Mashkim is Yosef, and not alone Veloy Zohar, but Vayishkacheyu. He's doomed. Oh, later on, he remembers Paro has dreams. Oh, yen a guy had a guy, and then a guy in jail pulls him out, and now he's at the top of the world. The Yosef story is a story of the complexity of redemption, of the circuitous route of redemption. It's up and it's down and it's sideways, and sometimes it's backwards, and it's not so pushing. It's not like it's going boom, 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 here to here to here, and we're done and we're finished. It's all perfect. It's complicated. And maybe why we invoke the Yosef story. In the olden days, in the days of Bizman Shehaya Beis HaMikdash Kayam, when we used to come home with the Korban Pesach, we remembered the Sochrim Yishmael. And maybe today when we dip, we remember the Ksenis Pasim, and when we pick up the four cups, we remember not just the Arba Lashon HaShel Geula, but Yena Krisis of Paro to teach us that in the year 2012, as we seek redemption, it's a complicated parsha. And the fact that it's complicated doesn't mean that we're not in the parsha of redemption. The fact that it's complicated doesn't mean that we're not in the parsha of redemption. We're in the parsha of redemption through the process of redemption. Why is the holiday of Pesach called Pesach? Why is the holiday of redemption named for an event that precedes redemption? Answer, that's exactly why the holiday of redemption is called by an event that precedes the redemption, because you don't have to be redeemed to be in the parsha of redemption. You know, we sometimes get very frustrated. We get very sad. And we get upset because our lives aren't moving in the direction that we want. And even if it's moving in that direction, so Rabbi Shalom Shanganik already, you know, I'm working so hard and I'm having all of these challenges. And I'm having health challenges. I'm having parnasa challenges. And I'm having tzar gidul banim, and I'm putting koichas into my family, and it's a struggle. It is an insane world today to raise erlecha, pashat from erlecha, yiddish kinder. It's impossible. And I'm pushing against the grain, and I'm not feeling that I'm winning. I'm barely keeping myself afloat. Financially, family, Klal Yisrael, 60 plus years after the founding of the State of Israel, we have to mamish be panic stricken that Yena Meshigana is Chas V'Sholem going to send some kind of a missile. My wife and I were in Israel a couple of weeks ago. Half the country are in bomb shelters. Half the Hishtot, just half the country, the southern half of the country, when we were in Israel, were in bomb shelters. What's going on? This is what we hoped, that little Kinderlach and a sweet, sweet father gets gunned down in France in cold blood because they're Jewish? This is Europe 65 years after the end of the Holocaust? What's going on? And the answer is that we're part of a process. The answer is that I think it's important for us to realize that we don't have to feel that we've achieved redemption only when lamaisa, in fact, we finally achieve redemption. We feel that we're in the parsha. We're moving along. And it's Yosef-like. And sometimes it's harder and sometimes it's easier. So we dafka name the holiday of redemption for an event that took place while they're still in Mitzrayim. Why? Because they're leaving Mitzrayim. Tomorrow they're going to leave Mitzrayim. They're part of a process of leaving Mitzrayim. We're well along the way of that process of leaving Mitzrayim. You don't have to leave Mitzrayim in order, in a way, to leave Mitzrayim. What was the third question? The third question was, why do we have three matzahs? Why don't we have four matzahs? Turns out there's a minhag Yisrael on page 9 to have four matzahs at the Seder. Fascinating Minhag Yisrael. It's quoted in the Chok Yaakov. It's quoted in the Yosef Ometz. I'm in the bottom right quadrant of page 9. So Minhag Yisrael to have four matzahs at the Seder. Zot the Heilige Rabbi Yosef Reischer, the Chok Yaakov, in the middle of the bottom right quadrant on page 9. Ubemendinos Elu Noagim Lasos Meho Isa Talad Matzis. The Koran Le Revi'i Matzah Sveiko. So let's adopt Kayan Levi Israel. Kayan Levi Israel, number 4. There are 4 matzahs, and the 4th one is called Matzah Sveiko. What does that mean? Kadeshim Yera Takola Zotta Chok Yaakov Ba'achas Mehen. Lokhin also will take that. We're keeping it in reserve. It's a Suffolk matzah. Why is it Suffolk matzah? I don't know if I'm going to need it. Tama Chalila, something happens to one of the other 3 matzahs. Atadua, I have the 4th matzah, I'm ready to go. So there's a Minhag Yisrael to have 4 matzahs. Yosef Ometz at the bottom, minute to have 4 matzahs. The 4th matzah is called the matzah sfeika. So my question is, why is the 4th matzah together with all the other 3 matzahs? When you look at the Seder plate, you have 4 matzahs. And one of them is called the matzah sfeika. So I mentioned earlier, Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with the sheets. Where do you put the sheets at the Seder? In your homes, when you have a Seder table, everybody's sitting around the table, ungestopped with the matzahs and the ka'ara and the wine and the cups, where do you put the sheets? So you have a table over here, there's a table right next to you. That's the table where you put all the bechers on. After you finish with the first part of the Haggadah and you're ready to eat, to bring out all the food. So you pick it up and you put it over here, and then when you're ready for benching, you take it and you put it back, and that's where all the sheets go. So why don't I put the Suffolk matzah right over here? Tamachalila, I need the Suffolk matzah. I bend over, I'll take it, and I'll use it. Why does the Suffolk matzah have to be right there on the Seder table in the collection of all of the other matzahs? And I'm suggesting to you that it's there because we don't shirk from facing the suffek. We have sfeikos. We have doubts. We have challenges. And we have serious challenges. But we don't take the challenge and stick it on the side. And then maybe if I'm going to need it, then I have to deal with it. We face it, we put it on the table, it's in your face at the Seder. Because that's a piece of what the Seder is all about. Because it's not so smooth, and it's not so inexorable, and it's not so Arba Lashon Rosh Shel Geula-like. It's more Yosef-like. It's up and it's down, and it's sideways, and sometimes it's backwards, and sometimes we don't understand it. And it's really hard, and it's sad, and it's painful, and it's difficult, and we just don't get it. But we understand that that struggle is part of what life is, and it's part of what our Jewish lives are. And it belongs front and center at the Seder when we grapple with an alternative, circuitous, complex model of redemption. Which brings me to my first question. Why is Pesach called Pesach? Why do we have 3 matzahs? No, we taka have 4 matzahs. Minhag Yisrael to have 4 matzahs. What are the Arba Kosher Shel Paro doing at the Seder? We got it, we understand it, now we go to the first question. What's going on in Moshe's discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I want to share something with you that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik many years ago. It was on a Tisha B'Av. And he said, he used to say and skip the same kinos every year. There was like a Masorah of which kinos to say, which kinos to skip. One year, something happened, and he said and spent time analyzing a kina that for the previous 9 years, he skipped. And there's a line in that kina that elicited from him the following comment that took him about 6 seconds that struck something in my mind that I want to elaborate. What's going on in the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And who is Shlach Nabiyah Tishlach? If you look at Rashi, Shlach Nabiyah Tishlach is a reference to Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu says, why are you sending me? You shouldn't send me, you should send Aaron. Shlach Nabiyah is a kind of strange way to say Aaron, but it means Aaron. If you look on page 9, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says that Shlach Nabiyah Tishlach is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. The Moshe Rabbeinu told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't send me, you should send Eliyahu HaNavi. Amar Lefanav Rabon Kol HaOlam, on top of page 10. Shlach Nabiyah Tishlach, V'yad Oso HaIsh She'ata Osid L'Shloach. Send the one who you're going to send. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, don't worry, I will send Eliyahu HaNavi, but meanwhile, I'm sending you. What did we read in the Haftarah this past Shabbos? Pasuk says, Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm going to send Eliyahu. But now I'm sending you. What's going on and what's this conversation? And this is built on something that the Rav said very cryptically. Moshe Rabbeinu says the following to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom comes and says, Moshe, take the Jews out of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, I know what's going to happen if I take the Jews out of Egypt. See, if I take the Jews out of Egypt, so they're going to go out of Egypt, then they're going to wander in the desert for a while, and then they're going to make their way into Eretz Yisrael. And they'll be in Eretz Yisrael for a couple of hundred years, and then there'll be a Beis HaMikdash. Beautiful thing, there'll be a Beis HaMikdash. It'll last for a couple of hundred years, and they're going to go into Golas. And I know it's going to be a short Golas. A couple of decades, there'll be a Golas, then Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem, second Beis HaMikdash. So, and then God, you know, there's going to be a second Beis HaMikdash, so it's going to last for a couple of hundred years. But then you know, God, that that Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And then many Israel are going to go into a Golas, a humongous Golas, an enormous Golas. And in this Golas, at the end of the 2nd century, they're going to be the Asara Harugei Malchus. And at the end of the 11th century, they're going to be the first Crusades. And in the 12th century, they're going to be the 2nd Crusade and the 3rd Crusade. And in the 13th century, they're going to be the Black Death Massacres. And at the end of the 15th century, there's going to be a Spanish expulsion. And in the middle of the 17th century, they're going to be the Khmelnytsky Massacres. Thousands of Jews. And then at the beginning of the 20th century, there's going to be a Kishinev pogrom. And then in the middle of the 20th century, God, you know what's going to happen? 6 million Jews are going to be killed. 6 million Jews in the middle of the 20th century are going to be killed. Then at the end of the 20th century, buses are going to be blowing up like crazy in Eretz Yisrael, and Jewish blood is going to be flying on the streets. And a family of 5 are going to have their throats slit by murderers in their home. And 8 yeshiva boys are going to get gunned down in front of their gemaras. And Jews are going to be killed. Rockets are going to be flying. God, I beg you, don't send me. Send Eliyahu HaNavi. Who is Eliyahu HaNavi? What role does Eliyahu HaNavi have? In our tradition, Eliyahu HaNavi is the Mavaser HaGeula. Eliyahu HaNavi is the footsteps of the redemption. Send Eliyahu HaNavi, I beg you. And we're done. And we're finished. And we go right into Eretz Yisrael and we live there. Lo adu l'netzach netzachem. Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for a week. He's arguing with God for all eternity. And he has the chutzpah to argue with God toe to toe for a week, Dafka, because he loves the Jewish people. He loves B'nai Yisrael. Look what he wants, that it shouldn't happen. Look what he wants to avoid. And he's ready to fight. A week, day after day, I know what's happening in Mitzrayim, but the stakes are so much higher. The eternity of the Jewish people is at stake. Send Eliyahu HaNavi. I beg you, please, not me. I can't do it. They're not going to listen. I don't know what to say then. I am inarticulate. Please, every excuse in the book to stall, to get the Rabbeinu Shalom to say, you're right, I'm going to send Eliyahu. It's Dafke's Avos Yisrael that gives him the koiches, the crazy, absurd koiches to shtel zachavet and to fight with God. Because he wants Elio and Navi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, that's not how redemption works. Redemption doesn't work. Now I'm in Mitzrayim. Now I'm done, finished, redeemed, complete, forever and ever. Everything is wonderful. Someday I will send Elio and Navi at the right time. Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem. That's Elio HaNavi. But right now, I'm sending you. And I know what's going to happen. Because that's how it works. Because it's not so pushing. And it's not so straight. And it's not so inexorable. And it's not so step by step by step by step. And all of everything is beautiful. And one builds on the other. And we're all moving in the great direction. And as soon as I invest in the stock market, it goes up, 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 up. Doesn't happen like that. The real world is complicated. The real world is Yosef. The real world is not our Baal Hashem Shel Gu. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu argues with Hashem that Dafke is an expression of his Avos Yisrael, Shlach Nabi Atishlach, Elio HaNavi. Send Elio HaNavi. If you send Elio HaNavi, the story's over. We're done. We don't need this. And I'm begging you. I'm begging you. I'm begging you in a way that is so utterly inappropriate. I am begging you to send Elio HaNavi. That's why Pesach is called Pesach. Because you don't have to wait until you're out. You're holding in the middle. You're already holding off in veg. You're already holding in the parasha. And that's why there is a minig Yisrael to have four matzahs at the Seder, and the fourth matzah, which is called Safek Matzah, is under your nose. Because we don't make it go away. We don't make believe it doesn't exist. We don't shunt it off to the side. We face it. We struggle with it. Hurts us. Hurts us. It's hard. It's under our noses. It's part of the process of what it means to be Jewish. And that's why Arba Kosos Shalparo are at the Seder. And that's why we came home from the Korban Pesach like this. From the Beis HaMikdash with the Korban Pesach. Amar Abilish Tayos Zot Rashi Sochem Yishma'elim. And that's why we dip the Karpas. Because Karpas equal to the Farisha Rashi and Vayeshev. I didn't make it up. Karpas equal Ksonas Pasim. And we dip to remind us of the Rabbeinu Manoach, to remind us of the Yosef story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Kayach. Should give us the Kayach to deal with the issues that we have to deal with. Should grant Mir Tzashem Refu Shalema Bakarov the Yosef Chaim Yisachar Ben Chaya Mushkit, and we should have a meaningful Pesach together with our families. We should be Zocha for the good Shalema Bakarov.
Oh.